Until 20 years ago, contact with anyone outside Hadzaland was infrequent, and even now it's very limited. Inside Hadzaland, the old ways still prevail, but not perhaps for much longer. Some things have begun to change. Anne and I talked sitting under a large acacia tree in the by now customary gale.
Traditionally, Hadza men just wore the skin of a jennet cat. They would wear a leather tie around their waist and the skin of a jennet cat would hang in front. That has not been worn for about 20 years. What the men wear today is a short piece of cloth just tied around their waist, coming down to mid-thigh. Women wear more clothing. They will wear two pieces of leather. One is a leather skirt tied around their waist, the bulk of the leather falling down behind, and using the legs of the skin tying in front at the waist, with a pubic piece attached to the leather skin hanging down over their groin. Sometimes that piece of cloth, which is called a kletche, is heavily beaded. Sometimes it's not. When they're walking through the bush, Hadza women don't necessarily have to wear anything covering their torso. They'll be quite happy going with just their leather skirt. But if the women are carrying a baby, or if they're going to collect berries, they'll have another piece of leather attached around their neck, hanging down over one side and then tied around their waist so that the baby can sit in that snugly tied against the mother's body, or you can put a bowl in there for carrying your berries and things like that. And the leather's fantastic because it's very waterproof, so when the baby's pees, they always do, the mother can just shake out the skin and it dries fairly quickly and she doesn't have to get too messed up. What's very common these days and for the past 10 years or so for the women is to wear a large piece of cloth several meters long, which they'll tie around their body under the arms, hanging loose down to their knees or below. And that's the only multi-purpose cloth because they'll wear it during the day and they can sleep in it during the night. They like to sleep on the ground, curled up under the cloth to keep off the mosquitoes. Hadza don't always wear shoes. They do make a delightful leather sandal, just from the skin of a variety of animals. So it's a piece of skin under the foot and various leather ties around the toe and the ankle. Nowadays, of course, car tires are used to make sandals. And Hadza do like to use them because they last for a long time. But as we've seen today, some people can walk through the bush for miles with no shoes. And even young children, 4 or 5 years old, can walk through this thorny bush with no shoes. The boys, if they can, would love to get a pair of shorts. Other little boys will wear a tiny piece of cloth wrapped around them, just covering their bottom and just coming down to the tops of their thighs. And young boys will go pretty much naked, just with a little tie around their waist. Young girls wear a delightful skirt, leather skirt, just like their mothers. It's exactly the same principle, except it might be the skin of a dik-dik or a smaller animal. But in front, instead of having a piece of beaded cloth as a pubic covering, the little girls have a delightful bead covering. It's called sambedaku in Hadza. It's a piece of leather tied around the waist, buttoned at the back, and at the front, over the groin, is a series of pieces of string hanging down, at the bottom of which will be 3 or 4 white and blue beads. So when the little girls walk through the bush, this little bead curtain sort of sways from side to side, and it's the most beautiful little thing. And if they're walking at just the right pace, of course the beads all clack together and make a delightful noise. And sometimes the girls will wear just that, their little bead curtain, and not worry about a leather skirt. The jewelry that men and women wear is beads strung together with pieces of wood or parts of plants. And in fact, much of the jewelry is supposed to have medicinal properties. But for children, I think it's mainly charms to give the baby a good start in life. Other sorts of jewelry we've seen someone wearing are beads strung with tailbones from the baboon. And when you put that around your waist, that's, as well as being decorative, it's to help you with a backache. There are a whole lot of beads that hads they used to wear a lot more 20 years ago. All men and women would be wearing beads on their heads, and they're called aquabidepe, beads on the upper arms and the upper part of the calf. But for whatever set of reasons, not so many had to wear those now. Perhaps it's that beads aren't as available, I just don't know, fashions have changed. But around the upper arms and around the upper calves, it's a band of beads about half an inch to an inch thick. And the colours they prefer are red, white and blue. Also what you'll see a lot are beads, a big string of beads worn around a woman's waist. One of the older women in camp here, a woman in her 60s, is wearing a necklace of grass beads. I've only seen one or two necklaces made of ostrich eggshell like the Bushmen wear. But they definitely do know the technique of making them. Hadza today, around the wrists, are wearing black bracelets. And it's very interesting seeing what they're made of, because it's PVC piping. It's the black heavy-duty rubber piping for water pipes. And people in Mangola are cutting these into bracelets and decorating them with incisions, things like that. I'm not aware of there being great differences between men and women's beadwork. Certainly the men here don't wear as much. But what I find curious is that, for instance, Endelema, a man in his 60s who's here, he doesn't have any beads, but rather than go with not having anything around his neck, he's got an old bit of cloth tied around. And I think that's his version of beads, just a piece of cloth tied around his neck. The other thing that the Hadza do, which you've seen here, is body scarring on the arms, sometimes on the face, on the upper chest and back, and that's done for beauty. I've also seen young babies, less than a year old, who've had these scars put on their cheeks just beneath their eyes, and I've been told that's medicinal. It's to ward off spirits, to help the baby through the young years of life. But it's a very individual thing, the body scarring. It's not necessary to do it. You don't have to do it at a certain age. But perhaps much of it is done in the teens, when children are kind of concerned about what they look like.